Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We're back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. This is a conversation in a break yesterday that turned into, hey, man, we probably should continue this conversation on. And, Kevin, we've been discussing Jimmy Butler as an option for a while, and I just don't – I don't love that. I do love you saying, hey – and go ahead and mark that. I do like when you're like, hey, we're trying to give this guy away right now. I mean, you might be able to get him for nothing. Yeah. But is that good value for you if it is actually nothing? I don't know.
And the only reason I would say yes is because Jimmy Butler on a vendetta, I think, is a thing.
There are three major factors, three motivating factors for athletes, and that is...
And for Jimmy Butler, it might only be one.
Revenge.
He might only want revenge.
Revenge, contract season, and fun babies. Kids motivate you.
This guy we're about to talk about might be porn stars.
All right, and that is... I mean, fun babies do kind of come from that sometimes. Zion Williams. And,
yes, thank you.
The Zion is... He's been a fascinating enigma since he was drafted. Even before he was drafted, the whole break in the shoe thing was interesting. But the body, Mike, before when he got drafted, I do remember you saying he's not going to be able to physically play basketball because
I thought like at 32 his career would be over. Just being at that physical, that athletic, and that heavy. That the knees and the ankles and stuff, it'll be able to handle it for a while, but by the time he gets to 30, the micro fractures and the cartilage and all that stuff will probably deteriorate so much that he's going to have one of those 10-year great careers. Uh-huh. And then like you're like, gosh, he was drafted at 19, 20 years old. How at 30 or 31 is he at this level? Now, that has not played out. Unfortunately, he's been way more hurt than I think most people could have imagined for 6 years.
I do feel like that was, correct me if I'm wrong, Kevin, before we started working with Mike, when we were still Knights, maybe. And you were like, I understand that.
Yeah.
But the talent. And so that's always.
Still the same 5 years later,
yes,
right?
Exactly. So that's where we really are just going on. He's been in the NBA. He's a little bit older. Do we want to make a move for this? What will it cost? How does he fit?
Can I please start this? Because I think my opinion is at least different than Corey's. And I've changed my mind about this. Once I looked at the breakdown of his contract structure, I'm in. And it will depend on what it costs, of course. But he has maybe the most unique contract in the NBA. So... Once he missed all those games, which you could be like, oh, which season? I get it. But the rest of his contract is not fully guaranteed. So he's under contract for 3 more years, I do believe, after this season. It's not fully guaranteed. So it goes like this.
It is maxed. It is like a max out. Yeah.
More or less, yeah.
But it's not that bad of a max.
Yeah. Exactly. Because there's different levels of max, which is even more confusing for the NBA. But 20% of it becomes guaranteed if Zion meets all the weight criteria, which is to stay under 295 pounds. He gets weighed 6 different times in the season.
Me?
No, I'm not. But then think about this. 40% of his contract gets guaranteed 40 more percent if he plays in 41 games. And then another 20 if he gets 51, then another 20 when he gets to 61. So he's already missed so many games this year. The only one he would have a shot at is 41 games. Like, it's not going to be any higher than that. So if he meets all of his weigh-in criteria and he is healthy from here on out, you're still only on the hook for 60% of the guaranteed money next season. And remember, the two seasons after that aren't guaranteed either. You have to go through like the exact same threshold again. That's why I'm interested. I wasn't interested before because those numbers are ridiculous, because the way y'all broke it down, it's the same as it was 5 years ago. When he plays, he's really, really good, but he doesn't play a lot.
This is interesting because it goes back to how this show has always been with you and me. And that is you giving me the John Daniels numbers and me being Nolan going, nah, but let me see the thing.
And that's fair. I just wanted to say, I have changed my mind in the last few days from definitely not to what's it going to cost because of this contract breakdown.
So I think most people here know Tim McMahon. If you don't know who he is, he's written for a long time now, I'd say 2 decades, and he's covered the Mavs for the most part, but over the last 6 to 8 years, he's also covered other teams. One of the other teams he's covered for ESPN is the New Orleans Pelicans. He wrote an article right before the new year that Zion possibly is going to get traded, as in, like, from what he was maybe kind of hearing, that New Orleans is just looking at how horrible of a season this is, how horrible of a future that they possibly might have. Also, they have a chance at getting Cooper Flagg, which a lot of people believe is that kind of generational talent that will change your organization into a winner. Now, people thought that about Zion 5-6 years ago, unfortunately, because of his injuries, and then you have to take in his possible motivation and lack thereof,
which does not appear to be the case with Flagg whatsoever. It appears to be quite opposite.
And so this is where I started thinking about this before the new year. Is Zion came back last night, and then I think it just ended up perfect timing that we're going to talk about it today, that last night he came back. He did not look fat. I watched the highlights. I did not watch the game. He had a 360 windmill dunk on a breakaway. Sweet. In fact, I thought for sure, like, what he's dealt with injuries, I was like, he's just going to, like, dunk it, but not dunk it. No. And it showed that the athleticism is still there. He had an alley-oop where he didn't get super above the rim, and that was earlier in the game in the highlights, and it kind of worried me, like, oh, is that how high he jumps now? Because if that's how high he jumps, I need to back off of this. Now, I will say this. I don't know how available he is, but the Mavs, according to Brian Windhorst, have been making a lot of phone calls.
Good, as they should.
To see what is out there available to make the team better. I think that Nico Harrison is just doing a tremendous job. I'll give Michael Finley credit.
Agreed. Stay in touch.
Like, there's a lot of people that I'm sure deserve more credit than just one person.
And by the way, just real quick, because this is something that frustrates me with the Cowboys. How big of a deal do you guys think it is that you're just picking up the phone? Like, that doesn't mean you're going to get anything accomplished. But
just even
pick
if you're
the phone.
Best, you should pick up the phone too, just to
let's
talk.
See.
You get an idea, at least, and it could be fibbing, but you get an idea from other teams, agents, you're calling agents all the time. Does your client like being in New Orleans? Does your client like being in Washington? Does your client like being in Charlotte? And then you call up the general manager and you kind of probe and you just see what they're liking and disliking about their roster, what they feel like they lack. What you might have a sense of what they lack. It can be pretty common watching a game and going common sense and just going, I can tell they need big guys, or they need a ball handler, they need a scorer. But you just want to probably get a better sense from their presidents and general managers on what they're thinking. The Mavericks own, this is scary, but this is what they're working with. The Mavericks own their 2025 first round pick, their 2026 first round pick, and their 2031 first round pick. Those are the only first round picks they own through that time, and they own 1 second round pick in 2025. Literally, they do not own a second round pick until 2032.
And remember, that's relevant because you can't trade first round picks in back-to-back seasons. So whenever you hear this proposal, I think the way it's going to go is 25 and 31.
That's the only draft picks you can offer, or you can offer 26 and 31.
Yeah.
If you wanted to do it that way, if you said, we don't want to offer, maybe you know more about Luka. Let's just say you're Nico. And then it becomes like, how much do I want to trade for a run this year? if you know that, I don't think this is the case. I want to make this clear. But behind the scenes, they know Luka's injury way more. I'll just say, like, I didn't know DeMarcus Lawrence's injury, but I'll just be honest. Like, I get to be with a professional team, and they are pretty much telling me he ain't playing the rest of this season. And that was when he got hurt, and he didn't play the rest of the season. Now, did the Cowboys tell us that he wasn't playing the rest of the season? No. But they probably knew, too, just like most athletic doctors somewhat know that injury, that position, that sport, and go, like, he ain't playing. But you look at what the Mavs have to offer. They have two first-round picks they can offer, 25 or 26, and then 2031. Those are the only first-round picks that they have available to even offer in trades. Now, that being said, I don't think the Pelicans, I don't know this, I don't think they want Zion anymore. I think that, just think of how fed up we would be as Maverick fans if we were, instead of Luka, we got Zion. And we thought that Zion was going to be our answer. And you started building around him. And you traded for
gotten anywhere.
You got Brandon Ingram. And you got CJ McCollum. Like, and you drafted different.
At least somewhere with Luka, right?
Right. And so you just be like, I'm fed up with this. This isn't going to work. Just get as much as you can right now. While some team might believe that they're going to get him healthy, they're going to get him motivated, they're going to keep his weight under, you know, certain frameworks that keep him healthy, that he's like, we're done.
Yeah.
And so I think New Orleans is done. Now, I'm not saying you can get him for nothing,
but maybe a cheaper thing than you maybe could have been in a long time ago.
Getting your salary, as in trade wise, to $30 million. Because that's what it would take approximately to send to New Orleans to get Zion at approximately $36 million this year. You start getting to Jimmy Butler, I got to get to $42 or $43 million worth of players to.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Get Jimmy Butler. That starts making it tough because the Mavericks have a weird structure of salaries. It's good. I'm not saying it's bad. They have two guys getting paid an S-ton of money, Luka and Kyrie. And everybody else is under $20 million. And there's not a lot of guys making, if I need to go look at it, I think there's only two guys, if I have this right. I think it's PJ Washington and
Gafford makes 10, 12. Yeah,
there's only two guys making 15 or more. Yeah. And that's PJ Washington and Klay Thompson. Yeah. Like, the Mavericks have built this thing. Nico's like, here's our two superstars. And everybody else is in that mid-level exception area. You know, which is like about $12 million, I believe it's at right now in the NBA. So I can trade for $35, $36 million worth of a player. I can get there. I'm going to have to probably give up Omax Prosper and Jaden Hardy and my two first-round picks to give them the prospects they want. So there's my prospect stash that I have.
Okay.
And this would be taking a chance on a 26-year-old guy who's lacked motivation. But if he were to get it, you would get a top 15 player? Would you say top 15 player when he's motivated and healthy?
And by the way, I might. And Zion, I think, is only 24.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Even younger.
Okay. He's been around a while.
I appreciate both of y'all. That was really good stuff. Really good reasoning. I am, Kevin, you're looking at the fan text that I'm looking at, and I'm the same way here.
Now, I get it.
Here's what I'm saying. Because a lot of people, the buffets won't stand a chance. No way. Who needs another out of shape young phenom on the team? I don't want another lazy person or another person who lacks self-control. These are all my fears, and if I'm the owner or the GM, I should have these fears. So now, how do I solve that problem? Can you tell me because Kyrie's done a really good job of getting the rest of the team to follow him while also allowing Luka to be Luka.
Yeah.
So can you, if Kai goes, hey, I got a relationship with this guy, or I know a way to get him motivated, because I can't have him and Luka be who they are.
I'm with you.
I need Zion to change. You can't change Luka. Luka's already shown he will change for periods, but he's not going to change for a long haul. So can you convince me that you guys, I'll pull the trigger on this. I'll help make the deal. Can y'all convince me that you can connect with him and we're the place that we can connect so that he becomes a different type of player, at least for this year, at least so we can go get the championship and get the run that we deserve.
So what would you guys think if I threw out there, I don't think he has a motivation issue. I think he has a Yu Darvish issue where he is a
Lamborghini
and you only take the tarp off when every condition is perfect. That's why I think he misses so many games. I'm not saying he doesn't have other issues, but I think he misses another chunk of games because he's like,
it's not
quite perfect.
I'm with you, and I don't know the trust level of this. I do know this happens in sports, at least in baseball for sure. You can talk to Najee Marshall. He was his teammate for a little bit and go,
what's, good point.
What's his motivation? You know, like, be honest here. Now, the tough thing is you might, I'm not for this, but you might have to trade Najee Marshall to get it done. I'm not saying that New Orleans, you just have to get the $30 million somehow. And Maxi Kleba is an easy one to get to 11. And then I start adding guys making a few million dollars here in Omax and
Hardy,
but I have to get to $30 million worth of player. And I don't think they want Klay Thompson. Like, if you're rebuilding, I don't think Klay Thompson's on your list of rebuild. And I'm not trading PJ Washington in this deal.
Yeah.
Just to be honest, because Zion is such a risk, but this would be a very high risk, high reward. But Corey, you
and
said
his fit is he's great defensively and
when
great
motivated,
offensively. Okay.
When motivated, he's premium. He's not a good 3-point shooter.
And he's not as good of a rebounder as you would think.
Right.
He's not a bad rebounder, but just not as good as you would think.
But I'm not saying this is the perfect fit. But Nico has done such a great job. If Nico's calling around, and Nico was a Nike guy, Zion's a Jordan / Nike guy. I'm sure he talked to Zion when he was in high school. Like, Nico has done such a great job. It's really weird with his shoe relationships through agents and players that he seems to understand chemistry fits way better than we, the fans, can at times understand chemistry fits. And I'm not saying that Zion's the answer, but I will say this. You said it'd have to work this year. The one thing that Kevin pointed out was he does have, after this year, 3 more years that you'd have a 24, 25-year-old guy that if you got him motivated, if you believe you could have Zion and Luka, which is scary. I get how scary it would be with Cronuts and everything like that, but
Cronuts are amazing.
I'm not saying this is something I'm dying to get or I want the Mavs to do no matter what, but I think it could be an option for the Mavs here in the next month to look at, what if we got Zion and, you know, I know this is the question that they haven't been able to keep Luka away from food, but like, could we keep Zion away from the buffet, as somebody said, and get him super motivated? Because if I had a motivated Luka and a motivated Zion for the next, let's say, 5 or 6 years together, that could be pretty special.
By the way, not to skip over this all the way, Mavericks win over the Lakers 118-97. I think they closed on a 9-0 run, but they also had a mediocre first quarter. They've been having really good first quarters
not finishing
and then
great.
Falling apart. This one was fine, and then they got a win. They desperately
awesome
needed it.
Awesome win. Real quick, because I know we got to go, from YouTube, the person asking, Zion makes $36 million this year. Jimmy Butler makes $50 million this year. So if you're asking, because they're asking, like, which would cost less?
Yeah.
Zion would cost less in a trade, at least when it comes to players, because you only have to get to $30 million of player, pretty much.
Coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, the Padres, Tennessee basketball. Is your friend an idiot? You tell us next on The Fan.
The number one team and unbeaten, the only unbeaten left, is in massive trouble. Condon, pretty play. The alley-oop to Chinula.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, Corey Majors, Kevin Hagelin, Mike Bassick, the famous Mike Bassick, and the even more famouser Alec Medford. All hanging out with you as we prepare for lunch today. Don't forget Derek Holland joins us after lunch during the C block today. We'll have a talk with him. As he made an announcement yesterday.
Are you kind of bummed he didn't make that announcement on the show?
It would have been a lot cooler, Derek. You know, maybe we start off with that. Why wouldn't you just make that announcement here? Didn't he promise that he would do that a couple of years ago?
I feel busted. Like he did.
Yeah, we'll talk about it with him coming up at 1 o'clock. But right now it's time for My Buddy's an Idiot, your friend that was the best at being the worst throughout the entire week. You tell us who they are.
And this might not be fair. It was just remarkable. You heard the audio. How much they got beat down. Florida defeated Tennessee last night, 73-43. Tennessee was number one and the last undefeated team left in men's college basketball.
Allen Houston, huh?
Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
It is January, and you are bringing up college basketball. Hey, college basketball does not matter until
we're
March.
We're 2 months away from March, but now it's really April madness.
He's right about that, too. College basketball doesn't start until like the last day of March.
And we just resaw that. Sure. We just resaw that Office episode where that gal tries to like hook up with Jim when he's married. And she's like, oh, I love college basketball. Is this March madness? And he's like, well, it's not March. So no, it just... 30-point loss as a number one, that was pretty historic. And it reminded me of yesterday what Mike was saying about like, hey, what should they do in the second half? And he's like, well, they still have to come out and play.
They're required to come out.
Tennessee was down 19 points at the half, their lowest output of the season. And they've been amazing this year. But I think today they might kind of be idiots for getting shellacked like that.
All right. And... Because Kevin, I'll be quite honest, man.
You don't care.
I haven't watched Cincinnati Central versus Utah Prep yet. I just haven't done that. But I know you're into it. And that's why I want everybody out there to know Kevin is a college basketball blowhard. Is that the right word for it?
Oh, goodness.
College basketball fan. That's the right word. You know college basketball better than most people in DFW. So, Duke. They doing all right?
Yeah, Duke is really good this year.
And you taking that shot at Tennessee is not necessarily an ACC thing.
Yeah, no. And that's just probably not fair because Tennessee was the last undefeated team. Duke has two losses.
Gotcha.
This was tough. But Tennessee loses their first game. You would think that Auburn, depending on how the rest of the week would go, would ascend to number one because they only have one loss. That one loss, of course, did come against Duke. But and Texas A&M has been playing really well this season. So I like college basketball a lot. I understand I'm in the minority.
I really legitimately...
Houston's really good, too.
I legitimately have a couple questions here, though.
Fi slamma jamma.
One, and this can be a brief answer for now. Is NIL changing college basketball a lot right now?
Did people transfer last week and they're playing for new schools this week?
I'm dead serious about not what Mike's saying, but what I just asked.
It is not
true. I don't know.
It has not had as big of an impact. And I think one of the reasons is everybody knows that they can be one and done. Like Cooper Flagg, I'm sure he loves Duke and all that. I'm glad he's there. But if they were like, hey, you can come straight to the draft out of high school, he'd be like, well, see ya. And so I don't think that affects it as much, whereas on the football level, it's 3 years. And so that's a bigger deal.
And I can't remember if it was last year or the year before, it seemed like the number one spot was a turnstile. And
that's fair.
Do you feel like that's going to be the case this year? Or do you think, no, there are some dominant teams that are going to be in this spot?
I mean, up until last night, I thought that Tennessee had been very dominant. Auburn's been fantastic this year. Alabama State. Iowa State.
He watches it all.
In Alabama. Kentucky has been really good. This is going to sound weird, but maybe watch some Rutgers basketball if you want. Dylan Harper, Ace Bailey, they've got a couple of players right there that some people are really high on in terms of draftability.
I have a stupid question, but if we're talking college basketball here.
And we can move on, I promise.
No, okay, real quick. Trey Johnson at Texas?
Yes.
He was a super stud here that almost beat Duncanville, and like he's considered a top 10 pick. Is Texas one? Or is Texas good at basketball too? Is he as good as he was in high school?
The answer to the second one is no. To the first one, I think Texas has been a very disappointing team this year. So that's what I would say. I mean, look, Corey's right. It's still January. For a lot of teams, conference play is just really starting or started like in the last couple of weeks. But I think Texas has been a disappointment so far.
All right. Okay. And I'm dead serious. Like, if you want to listen to somebody, if you all want more college basketball, Kevin can provide it. He watches. Somebody said, I didn't even know Alabama had a state. And so now they just learned that from you about Alabama State being a top five team.
And Trey Johnson is still playing really well, mm-hmm. but
okay,
Texas not playing as well. I mean, look, you could watch every team at any point pretty much, but Trey Johnson's still playing well, but that team is, I think, has been a disappointment. And by the way, the guy for Auburn who might win player of the year, he's not even viewed as a super draft commodity. Like Cooper Flagg is second in odds to win the Naismith for the best player. Everybody in the world wants him number one. The guy who's actually going to win it from Auburn, people are like, eh, either way.
From the 817, my buddy's an idiot. He thinks the Cowboys hiring Pete Carroll would be a home run hire.
Okay. Can I tell you, I was surprised that Pete Carroll also got an interview with the Bears. I was like, oh, for real?
Why?
I don't know.
You think there are a lot of coaches that are older that have lost touch with current
and
NFL.
I think Pete Carroll is one of them. I think it's just time to move on.
I think whenever,
as a head coach,
I think when there are teams out there that look at some guys like that and think, can they manage my franchise for me? And general manager does a lot of the other things, but can they give me a vision and successfully execute that vision? And I think sometimes if that's all you're relying on, it can fade real fast. If you can change and adapt with the times, you can keep teams. I did see Pete Carroll do that for a minute, but yeah, it fell off very fast there at Seattle.
I don't like this about current sports, especially football, where you hope your quarterback is your quarterback for 12 to sure. 15 years. I don't get hiring Pete Carroll in Chicago when you're hoping that he's the coach you hire. I would want, if I'm hiring the coach, I want to believe the coach I'm hiring is the coach that's going to be this quarterback's coach for his career.
I agree. And that's a lot of the times when I have this conversation about hiring a coach, I'm looking more offensive coordinator than defensive coordinator because I want those guys working together for a while and him to learn that system and run together. And then my defensive coordinator control. And if I need to move on from a defensive coordinator, I still have the offense intact.
It's okay if you're not familiar with the tennis player Cameron Norrie. I can't say I super am either. But he got mad at the Auckland Open, and he just kind of tossed his racket.
I think it's pronounced Oakland.
I think this is in New Zealand. I'll go double check on that. And it hit a fan in the front row.
Oh, no. Right.
Is he an idiot for that, or did this just give this lady time to shine? Because she has her big
put nets up.
Kentucky Derby hat on. And she's watching. Like, she was paying attention.
Oh, she's into it.
And even when he threw it, she, like, blocked it down with her hands, which nice. I was really impressed by because I don't imagine, like, you get a lot of time to make that decision. So do you think this tennis player is an idiot for flipping his racket and it going in the crowd? Or are you just yes. more proud of this lady for, like, being not today?
Yes and yes.
Okay.
I'm sure as a player, you've gotten mad, or as a person, you've gotten mad, you've thrown something or tossed something or threw your hands up.
And then your coach yelled.
You accidentally hit something with that thing you threw or tossed or with your body part that there was no intention to hit anybody. How many times do we see, like, in a dugout, a guy gets mad and throws his helmet and the helmet, yeah. like, hits somebody or
them,
you know,
and then you're like, back and hit them.
Crap, I'm still furious with myself or whatever happened, but now I feel like a moron because I've actually taken somebody who had nothing to do with this, was just minding their own business, and now they are a part of this situation.
Cam Norrie, by the way, TCU product, Kevin. So
I did not know that.
It says college TCU.
Okay.
So I went and confirmed the fan text that came in on that.
I will confirm too. TCU is a college.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Mike. That's why we have Mike for facts.
Okay. Then, by the way, as long as we're confirming things, the 972, Texas has only lost four games. Three games. I believe they've lost four games, and the bigger problem is, and the thing I'm focused on, they lost both of their conference games to start, and they got absolutely hammered by Texas A&M. They played Auburn really close, but they got hammered in that game. So I think what I said is fair.
What are you supposed to do against AC Law and DeAndre Jordan?
It's not them anymore.
How can you handle it, man? I remember throwing my glove once, Mike, and my coach yelling at me it wasn't the glove's fault. And that's the first time I'd heard it. And I think it was the first time I ever threw my glove. And I was in high school at this point, and I was like, never thought about that. And it's not the weapon, it's the warrior mentality. But I'll blame tennis for not having nets up to protect people.
Do you guys think that, like, if you owned a sports team or your parents owned a sports team, you'd be able to figure it out after they died? Or like if your wife owned a sports team? Because the Padres are still stuck in this thing where they're suing each other, and the widow, Peter Seidler, has sued two of his brothers to gain control and be the point person for the Padres. I know it's
tough. Has this been a problem with the Titans also?
I think they have gone through something with that, but do you think you would be able to avoid this, or you're like, I don't know,
with my family,
if billions of dollars are on the line, maybe I would also do this.
With my family, I think we would.
Okay.
Because I like to compromise a lot, so I would do a lot to keep the family together rather than being like, this is all mine. What are you talking about?
Somebody who's probably going to be in prison the rest of their life said one time, mo money, mo problems.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I decided not to be good in most of the things I do, because it would have led to it would have led to mo money,
which leads to
mo problems.
So there you go. So don't take over the Padres. I don't really know what the takeaway was from that.
I don't want mo problems.
Yeah.
Okay. Then don't find yourself in that situation. If you're dating someone whose family owns a multi-billion-dollar sports franchise, sounds like you guys are saying, like, cut the cord.
Yeah, yeah. Or give all the money away so I don't have all the problems. Yeah.
Would you tell people if you won the... I don't even know what the lottery's at right now.
No, I would not.
You'd just be super quiet?
Yes.
Would you tell your mom?
I mean...
I wouldn't tell anybody.
You tell Jess?
But there would be signs.
So
how are you buying all these cards?
So my niece put it to me the perfect way. She's like, oh, it's only for family. I was like, I'm family. And she goes, house family.
Oh, so that's different. That's different family.
I would let house family know. But
I slept in your house. On your face.
Yeah. My mom would probably know. My sister would probably know. And you would go, oh crap, Corey won. They're like, how do you know? And they're like, you can just tell.
It might be for crosstalk. It might be a segment for another day. What's the one sign that people would know that you won the lottery?
Yes. I like that.
I would have a zombie style apocalypse mobile like they did in Day of the Dead, where you could just mow down any MF-er in your way.
You can't legally do that, Kevin. Coming up next on the KNC Masterpiece, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. Are these players about to get paid? Next on The Fan.
Burrow to the end zone for the lead. Higgins.
That is my dude right there, T. Higgins, helping me out in my fifth place attempt in fantasy football this year. Look, man, it was other people's fault, not T. Higgins. He gave me a valiant effort a couple weeks ago with a 40-point game, so I love him for that. He's going to get paid this offseason. Who will be the one doing it? That's a big question, because the Bengals have Jamar Chase to talk to. Are they going to say, we love this duo, or are they going to say, we got to move on from one of them? Before we dive into Gridiron Gravy, I know we will get to Gridiron Gravy. I just think this is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Anta and Kyrie Irving they work together on the shoes. They have signed Caris LeVert, Derek Jones Jr., and Daniel Gafford to shoe deals. Kyrie said, these guys are my brothers, players I've shared the journey with. Together we aim to aspire to basketball and create a legacy that resonates. But adding Caris LeVert, adding Gafford to it, I think, is a cool thing, too. I don't know if it means anything else, but the dude has connections. He is connected. All right, now it's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Gridiron Gravy, brought to you by Rhino Shield. Why paint your house when you can
shield
your home? Visit rhinoshieldtx.com.
There is a list of free agents out there that are set to hit pay dirt.
And do you agree with the highlight we played back? T. Higgins, he'd be one of those?
Yes, he definitely is one of those. That's how I've always felt about him.
Because I know you really like T. Higgins, and I think T. Higgins is really good. Do you think T. Higgins is going to fall into the mistake teams make with the Brandon Cooks category back in the day in terms of
Alvin Harper-y, yeah, if you're a Cowboy fan.
He's really good. But teams are going to pay him like a one, and he's not going to be a top end one. Like, he could be a one.
I don't.
Okay.
I think he might be a, like, if you're going to say the top end ones are, if there's five of them, I think he's a top 10.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Okay.
But I also, my problem is the last couple of years, and contract is a part of this, for in my mind, is he's just gone missing physically, like the body. Oh, hamstring here, quadricep here. And I know these dudes play through bad stuff all the time. It's just there have been times that I've been like, dude, if I'm going to pay that guy, I need him on the field. And so is this because you're trying to negotiate a contract with the team and you're not putting your body on the line because of what you're making now because you want money down the road?
Maybe.
And how is he going to act when he gets the money? CeeDee Lamb this year, what he did with his body after he got paid, credit. Like, that's that. Thank you very much. Nice work. I don't think that he won't do it again next year. And I think CeeDee Lamb also is going to be demanding more from his teammates. Actually, CeeDee, you better be demanding more out of your team next year. Offensive line, defensive line, everybody on that team. You need to be standing before all of them saying, did you see what I did last year? Do you see how I'm back this year doing the same work, getting more into it? We got to go. But also, whenever you're missing a camp, you got to show everybody if you want that leadership, too.
I know I'm going back a little bit. Can I scare Cowboy fans a little bit with T. Higgins? I'm just on USA Today. I don't know if this is perfect, but it says the Commanders have $81.75 million in cap space this offseason, which is third most. Can you imagine if they had Terry McLaurin and then to help out Jaden Daniels, they added T. Higgins, and those are their two
options? That's a perfect spot for him.
I hate you, Mike, for doing that. Thank you. I mean, I really like you a lot, Mike, right now.
I mean, there's other teams that have the money to do it. I'm not saying they don't, but I mean, if I don't know when this was. You know, I need to look at USA Today here, but I just tried to pull up real quick. Is January 6, 2025. So this is recent, at least.
That was the day Mike was out.
That's so true.
I was flying back.
I don't. I'm actually not going to dive much further into this list right now because there are a couple other things I want to get into.
Can I just mention one player?
Do it.
Sam Darnold. I think Sam Darnold has made himself an S ton of money.
With the Vikings.
I don't know if he'll be with the Vikings.
Then I'm not paying him.
Does it matter that he scored 9 points? Was it 9 points?
Yep.
Nine. What if they lose to the Rams 20-9? And so, his last two games were 18 points in what would be, we're going for the one seed, and now we are trying to win a playoff game.
Yeah.
I don't know what this affects. Like, how much does it affect? He went 14-3 versus the last two games that were not do or die.
Take the whole body of work, Mike, because he was gritty in a lot of those wins, too.
Yeah.
There were a lot of moments where he needed to step up. This is another question because I'm not going to ask it right now, but you asked it earlier. The boogeyman has been a big part of what the Vikings have done. And Alec nicknamed him that. Is that your nickname that you created for him?
Yes, it is.
All right. Alec nicknamed Brian Flores the boogeyman because that defense does what they do. And they did it this year. They've been a big part. I give him 10%. Darnold had, you know, they benefited a lot from that defense holding up, giving him a chance. He did satisfy it at the end of games a lot of times. But I'm looking at Darnold, Kevin, and I'm going, can he do the same without Kevin O'Connell? Is my coach similar to that I need to do that? And is this year of Sam Darnold the outlier? Or is it he goes back to the pumpkin that he was?
And I very well believe it could be an outlier, but I think there's going to be plenty of teams out there that are willing to say 3 for 75 that it wasn't.
I agree. I totally agree with you on that. Bears chairman George McCaskey says the team needs... they need a team that will keep fans from selling their tickets.
Ooh.
That's how different is that than we have here? Where we have asked on many occasions, Jerry, when you're looking in that stadium and you see a majority of it is almost opposing fans walking in, does that frustrate you? He's like, no. And then here's their team executive saying, yeah, we got to make sure that we have an advantage here because I don't want our fans not being part of this. The only thing is, there is a big difference in Jerry looks at it and goes, but every other thing sells well. And the Bears are probably going, well, we're really relying on this.
I know that. I think Jerry looks at it as like, I'm making a lot of money off of these people. If these people want to make some money off of secondary market, I'm not, I don't, He doesn't care. Like, he understands because...
He should care because it takes away your inherent competitive advantage.
True, but I don't... I don't think he does either. Like,
no, you're
like,
right.
This person, not that he knows these people, but this person paid $400,000 for the PSL, for the right to even buy these tickets. He wants to sell them because Green Bay Packers want to come in and pay three times the face value.
Let him make his money.
The PSL still belongs to a Cowboy fan, you know? So I don't know. It's tough because I don't know this. You'd have to go around and look at what are the PSLs for other teams. And then I think if you're the Chicago Bears and you're not charging $100,000 for the premium seats that are just the PSL, like just drop $100K on us right now just to have the right to own these tickets.
Yeah, if you're
then you're like, you can kind of say, hey, wait a second, you know?
You got to make sure we have these.
But I think Jerry looks at it as like, I'm charging an S ton for these. And so if they want to make some extra bucks off of it, go ahead.
Bo Nix named AFC Offensive Player of the Week, Kevin. Listen.
Against the Chiefs backups.
Hey. Travis Kelce already said on his New Heights podcast they did not intentionally try to lose because of the Bengals. All right, he said those backups went out there and gave lots of effort. Jahmyr Gibbs, also NFC Offensive Player of the Week. Those two were my top two in hits and misses from this week. So
you're right.
Back to you, Mike.
Well, I saw somebody on Twitter or X get really like, what are the Chiefs going to do this or that? And like, I can't remember who responded. It was like either Jeff Schwartz or like, you know, somebody who's in the NFL or covering the NFL. And he's like, here's what they're going to do to punish those players. Half of them aren't going to play in the playoff game because half of the players,
the ones that wouldn't play.
Yeah.
Anyway. They're getting punished.
Yeah. So I'm interested, Kevin, the percentage that not Jacksonville, they've sucked.
Yeah, they're done.
The percentage that Kansas City, because I guess that we haven't done this, the percentage Kansas City said, we got to keep the Bengals out.
I actually think it's pretty low. When he was saying that, I was saying bull crap to the, we were trying to win the game.
Oh, yeah.
But I agree. Yeah, in terms of getting Cincinnati out, I don't think it's zero. I think it's between 5 and 10% maybe. But I thought you were just going to say, we were trying to win that game. I was like, the hell you were.
They were not.
I watched a hair of that Chiefs game because I was in the hotel room and it was on TV there. And it is amazing looking at Carson Wentz, where he was in year two and what he's looked like the last four or five years when he's entered games. It is, I don't know, like it brings to like, how can somebody be so good in year two in the NFL and then the rest of their life look like they don't belong in the NFL? That's tough to do.
And then finally, this might be a longer conversation, Kevin, but multiple NFL teams have reached out to Bill Belichick or inquired about whether or not he will regret going to college, making that move. And the Raiders, Tom Brady has spoken with Bill Belichick and had the conversation with him and been, you know, kind of getting in touch. And now that they've moved on from Antonio Pierce, who was fired yesterday, Brady and Belichick won 6 Super Bowls together.
Okay. Do you think then the conversation, if it has to be one, is a conversation, hey, we're building something over here, or is the conversation, hey, I'll come out of retirement again to play for you?
I think it starts as, I want to build a championship team.
Okay.
Here's how I see it. What would your vision, how would you do it? Because I've never done this before.
Yeah.
But I was a beneficiary of it. So how would you do it? And then maybe there is any interest in coming back into this league?
By the way, side note, did you see the Lions say they now expect David Montgomery back for the divisional round?
Dude, and Hutchinson's going to be there for the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
so
we'll see
all these great things for the Lions there. Coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, Stars extend their winning streak, baby. And what midseason grade would you give the city of Dallas? Next on The Fan.